Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way that you feed us with your bread and your word, and we dedicate our lives, our hearts and our minds to learning from your word, the truth that will set us free. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10 to 13, message. For instance, say you flaunt your freedom by going to a banquet thrown in honor of idols, where the main course is meat sacrificed to idols. Isn't there great danger if someone still struggling over this issue, someone who looks up to you as knowledgeable and mature, sees you go into that banquet? The danger is that he will become terribly confused, maybe even to the point of getting mixed up himself in what his conscience tells him is wrong. Christ gave up his life for that person. Wouldn't you at least be willing to give up going to dinner for him? Because, as you say, it doesn't really make any difference. But it does make a difference if you hurt your friend terribly, risking his eternal ruin. When you hurt your friend, you hurt Christ. A free meal here and there isn't worth it at the cost of even one of these weak ones. So never go to these idol-tainted meals if there's any chance it will trip up one of your brothers or sisters. Now, Jesus made it quite clear that it's not the food that makes us unclean, it's what's in our hearts that comes out of our mouths. That's in Matthew 15:11. What defiles a person is not what goes into the mouth, it is what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. Now, that wasn't a statement said on its own, and here's the background for that. I want to read the whole of Matthew 15:10-18. Then he called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What defiles a person is not what goes into the mouth. It is what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person." Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that when the Pharisees heard this saying, they were offended?" And he replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father did not plant will be uprooted." Leave them. They are blind guides. If someone who is blind leads another who is blind, both will fall into a pit. But Peter said to him, "Explain this parable to us." Jesus said, "Even after all this, are you still so foolish? Don't you understand that whatever goes into the mouth enters the stomach and then passes out into the sewer? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these things defile a person." The same incident is reflected in Mark 7, verse 14 to 18. If you want to check it out yourselves, I'm not going to repeat it. Now, what is this business about some foods being unclean? Well, it comes right after the fall in Genesis 7 verse 8 NLT. With them there were all various kinds of animals, those approved for eating and for sacrifice, and those who were not, along with all the birds and the small animals that scurry along the ground. And the same scripture in NET: pairs of clean animals, of unclean animals, of birds, and of everything that creeps along the ground. This was talking about going into Noah's Ark. Now, there is a huge difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. This is reflected in Hebrews 9, verse 8 to 12, NLT. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely open as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. This is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. So you can see that once and for all time, Jesus died to set us free. He didn't have to die twice. He only had to die once. And that sorted out the sins forever from Adam and Eve through to you and me and our descendants until Jesus returns. So the sacrificial system, the Mosaic law, was there as a picture, as an object lesson, so that people would realize their need for a sacrificial substitute, or something to take the blame, to take the punishment for our sin. And that's why the law was so specific about the lamb being perfect, without blemish. Of course, that was just physical perfection. Jesus, the Lamb of Judah, was perfect in every way because he obeyed the Lord 100%. The same sentiment is also in Hebrews 9, verse 24 to 26. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. If you do a quick search on the phrase once for all time, you'll find it also in Hebrews 9:28, Hebrews 10:2, Hebrews 10:10, 1 Peter 3:18, and Jude 1:3. Now, what Jesus said about everything being clean applied not only to food, but to people as well. This is seen in Acts 10. Now, I'm going to briefly summarize Acts 10, verse 1 to 12. I'm not going to read all of that. It's going to make the message too long. But that is the background to Acts 10, verse 13 to 15, which is what I want to highlight. So, in Caesarea, a man named Cornelius was a centurion, and he was a God-fearing man, and he was praying, and a vision of an angel came, and the angel said that he must go and send for Simon Peter, who was staying in Joppa, and he even dropped a pin. The guy is staying with another person called Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So there's the address of where you can find Simon Peter. And then Cornelius sent his devout soldier and his servants, and he sent them to Joppa. And then the next day, while they were still traveling and approaching the city, Peter went on the roof to pray, and he had a vision of a sheet being let down from heaven with all kinds of four-footed animals and reptiles and wild birds. And they were obviously unclean, because if there was a clean animal there, he could have agreed to that. But if they were all unclean, then he could not have agreed to it. What he was agreeing to? Well, this is what God said in Acts 10, verse 13 to 15, NET. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, slaughter and eat." But Peter said, "Certainly not, Lord, for I have never eaten anything defiled and ritually unclean." The voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not consider ritually unclean." This happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up into heaven. That was verse 16 as well. So here God is highlighting the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That which was unclean in the Old Covenant, God has now made clean. And that applied to the food that you can eat and to the people. Because when the Roman soldier and the servants arrived there, God told him, go down and speak to them. Don't worry, don't be frightened about it. Because remember, Christians were not popular at that time with the authorities. So getting a visit from Roman soldiers was not such a grand idea. But God told Peter, don't worry about it. Don't be afraid. Go and speak to the people. And they were Gentiles. They were Romans. And this was the start of the outreach to the Gentiles, which was carried on in a large measure by Paul. So those who understand this concept that the law has not passed away, the old covenant has been replaced by the new covenant. The law has not been scrapped. It has been fulfilled. The law has not been done away with. Jesus obeyed the law 100%, and Jesus has fulfilled the law completely. And this is what he paid for with his blood on the cross. Now we live by the law of love, which does fulfill the rest of the law, which I will get to later. The law of love is shown in Romans 14, verse 1 to 8. Accept other believers who are weak in faith and don't argue with them about what they think is right or wrong. For instance, one person believes it's all right to eat anything, but another believer with a sensitive conscience will eat only vegetables. Those who feel free to eat anything must not look down on those who don't, and those who don't eat certain foods must not condemn those who do, for God has accepted them. Who are you to condemn someone else's servants? Their own master will judge whether they stand or fall, and with the Lord's help they will stand and receive his approval. In the same way, some think one day is more holy than another day, while others think every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to God. For we don't live for ourselves or die for ourselves. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. And we are reminded that it is the kindness of God that brings us to repentance. In Romans 2 verse 4, don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? That turning from your sin is the repentance we speak of. Finally, about the law of love, in Romans 13 verse 8 to 10, it says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others. So love fulfills the requirements of God's law. So we are encouraged to show God's love to those around us, whether they understand the concepts in the new covenant or not. We still need to reach out to them in love. It might be difficult because some of them might be very opinionated about what they believe, which is probably outdated, but we still need to spread God's love around. That's why you need to shine your light.